Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you played pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're on up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, if you don't fight, don't y'all know." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granted, we a dogfight, no child knows."
Okay, are we live now?
Yes, we are.
Hello. All right. Welcome to Ask a Jew. And I would like to thank Raquel for co-hosting with me tonight. I'd like to also thank the World Integrity News Network for having us here. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and if you want to call in, the number is 646-787, dialing from a country that is not the U.S., or 001 if you can't dial a plus sign with your phone. I have experience calling numbers internationally. Anyway, oh my... Wow, this week we've had so many tragic things happen, and, you know, I would just like to take a moment to say that, you know, I don't care if violence comes from the left or the right, I condemn all violence. And I'm, you know, I'm a little worried about, you know, some of the stuff that's happening right now. I don't know. What do you think, Raquel?
I'm pretty worried also. There are a lot of things going on. Of course, we have the midterm elections coming up a week from Tuesday, November 6th, Election Day. And there always seems to be, you know, crazy things come up at the last minute.
Yeah.
And I think the Democrats are unhinged. I think they're pissed off over Kavanaugh. I think they'll do anything that's necessary to take over the Republicans.
Yeah.
That's
and,
where I'm at.
I mean, our midterm elections are not just the only elections that are happening around the world. Tomorrow is actually Brazilian national elections. I don't know how to say, is it Jair? Or it's J-A-I-R. Is that pronounced in Portuguese like Y? I don't know if it's Jair or Jair.
I'm not sure.
Bolsonaro.
Either.
Yeah, Bolsonaro is his last name. I'll just say Bolsonaro because I can't say his first name. Anyway, he's basically the Brazilian version of Trump. He's expected to win. He had an assassination attempt on him, like about a month ago, and he survived it, which, you know, actually only boosted his popularity. You know, somebody tried to get him with a knife.
Why do you call him like a Trump candidate?
Because he supports a lot of the things that Trump also supports, except, you know, he does it in the eyes of Brazil. Like, you know, he's basically like Brazil first, you know, and I do think that, you know, every country in the world should put their own country first. So I have no problem with him saying Brazil first if he's running as the Brazilian president.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also, I mean, you know, Venezuela actually borders Brazil. And the Russians are actually going to make Venezuela the first country to produce the AK-47 besides Russia. So you're going to have a bunch of communists who are producing guns, like, right on the border with you. You know, that are probably going to come into your country and all that. You know, there's a lot of Brazilians that are very concerned about that. You know,
and they should be.
I mean, yeah, they should be. And, you know, I mean, they want Second Amendment rights as well, you know, like we have in the U.S. And they should have them.
The whole world should, as far as I'm concerned, Chad.
Yeah, and where everything is and with everything that's happening in the world today, like, you know, I don't own a firearm myself. I do know how to fire a firearm. I have gone to shooting ranges and fired a firearm. Actually, I went to this great place in the West Bank that often gets criticized because they train a lot of U.S. Police there.
Right.
And, you know, it was fun. You know, I learned a lot there, you know, even though I just, like, took, like, a couple hours. Of course, that was, like, a couple hours there. They do have courses there that are, like, weeks or months, depending on, you know, what you want to learn and stuff like that. But it's called Caliber 3. It's actually pretty cool. And the guy that taught me is Steve Garr, G-A-R. He's a South African Jew that immigrated to Israel. And he's a counterterrorist operative. And he'll tell you all these stories. One time had to, like, pin down a five-year-old because he was, like, getting caught in the crossfire. He had to pin down a five-year-old with his foot because the five-year-old was getting caught in the crossfire between him and the terrorists that he was trying to take out. You know, he saved that kid's life.
He did. I was just going to ask you, what was the outcome?
Yeah, he saved that kid's life.
That's good.
And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. You know, I see friends of mine posting on Facebook, like, you know, the U.S. is falling apart, you know, and all that. And there's going to be this huge uprising of some sort. I mean, I have friends on the left and the right that are saying that, and I'm just like, please. I've literally had rockets fired on me, and that country still stands, you know, in Israel. You know, they fired rockets on, you know, Hamas fired rockets in 2014 on my Jewish friends, my Muslim friends, my Christian friends, you know, my friends of all religions, really. You know, and I mean, I guess I have to hand it to Hamas there. They're not discriminatory as to who they fire rockets on. They fire them on everybody.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I'm making like a little kind of dark humor joke there, I guess, but...
I do want to just point out, we do have a couple of listeners on the line. If you have a question or comment, feel free to press 1 on your phone, and that'll let me know that you want to get it into the conversation. So just want to put that out there. And if you're listening online and you have a question or comment, please call in. The number is 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. Thanks, Chaz.
Yeah, and thank you, Raquel, for being on. Thank you, the World Integrity News Network. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Also, you know, if you are dialing internationally and want to call in, you know, +1 or 001, depending on your phone.
So you mentioned to me earlier, or just previously to the show, that the network Gab, and I know that you use Gab for, you know, communications purposes.
Yes.
Is it actually down now? What's going on?
It went back up like literally maybe half an hour before we started the show. What's happening right now what's happening right now, according to the CEO of Gab, Andrew Torba. He made a post about this. Gab is experiencing more traffic than it ever has, and it's just overloading them. So even though Gab is working now, it's actually very slow. And
I see.
Some pages,
it's an international, it's a popular international social media network. Is that
right?
Yeah.
Actually, 10% of their traffic now comes from Brazil. Like, there was this huge, like, you know, what they call, like, the Brazilian invasion of Gab, like, back around August. Because a lot of Brazilians that were supporting Bolsonaro just got banned from Twitter, you know, for no reason at all. And there's a lot of, you know, people who tend to be right-wing in Brazil that are media people that have actually joined Gab, and they've been leading this movement.
It seems that, you know, the uprisings, you know, catch some attention, you know, off mainstream places like
Gab.
Yeah,
actually, I made this meme that the CEO of Gab, Andrew Torba, actually stole from me and reposted. I made the meme myself. And
yeah,
I know. I mean, he's reposted some of my stuff sometimes, and I'm glad that he did not repost my original post about it because I got over 200 upvotes on it. If he reposted my original post, I just would have been, I mean, it's already extremely hard to deal with 200 upvotes. Like, I actually try to check out the profiles of anybody that interacts with me on Gab. Like, you know, I'm a very social person on there. So, you know, if they upvote something, if they upvote something of mine, I'll check out their profile, and if there's something there that I want to upvote, I will upvote and follow them. And I will say, every once in a while, somebody upvotes me, and then I look at their profile, and then I'm like, oh my god, this person actually is a Nazi.
Not good.
I think that they should be able to speak, but that does not mean I'm going to follow them.
Right. So you gotta tell me what's been going on. What happened today in Pittsburgh? I think it happened early this morning. Correct me if I'm
okay,
wrong.
Okay, so they were having Shabbat
fine,
services,
but I wasn't able to get into the story. But go ahead.
Okay, from what I can tell, they were having Shabbat services in a fairly heavily conservative Jewish community in Pittsburgh. It's at a specific synagogue where I think three different congregations actually gather. And, you know, usually on Saturday, you know, it's pretty busy going around there. I'm sure that a lot of them walk because if you're a conservative religious Jew, I mean, like, ultra-conservative, then you can't drive a car on Saturdays, you know, on Shabbat.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And the reason is not because that driving a car is work. It's because the car might break down and then lead to causing you. That's why you can't have a bicycle either.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's like super, super, super religious Jews.
Okay. But so do you think it was odd to even have... So it was Shabbat, meaning what? This morning.
Well,
because otherwise,
that's the main day that Jews go to pray. It's the day when most... You know, it's the day when most Jews are going to be in a synagogue.
It's a Saturday
morning. You know, it's like Sunday in a church.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. You know, or it's like Saturday in the Seventh-day Adventist church, I guess. Because they like to pray on Saturdays. I actually have one of those churches in my hometown, so I know all about that. But,
So was the, do they have a suspect? Did they capture him? You know, what went down this morning?
Oh, they captured him. His last name was Bowers, I believe. He had a verified Gab account, is a thing. All right. And verified Gab account, that's like having the little blue check mark on Twitter. I have a verified Gab account. You know it's me. I'm no fooling tooling on Gab. NoFooling. And, you know, my name is obviously Chaz Toolin. So, you know, you basically send them your... You know, a photo of you holding up your photo ID, you know, with your, you know, it has to have your face in it and also a picture of your photo ID. So they know that it's you. And then they verify you. They actually verified me last year on my birthday, August 7th, 2017. That was a nice birthday present. It only took
Perfect.
Them a couple of weeks to do that, too. But,
okay, we do have a caller that, Chaz, we do have a caller that does have a comment or question. Do you mind if I bring them in?
Yeah, whoever it is.
Let's check it out.
This is Phoebe. Whoever
okay.
it is, it's Phoebe.
Oh, this is
Phoebe?
Oh,
it's
okay.
Phoebe,
I know
yeah.
B. I know B. I know BB, by the way. We're just going to call BB.
I wanted to call it out. Yeah. I am also on Gab. I am not verified, and my handle is at BB Good on Gab, of course. And I saw this, you know, that's kind of the nice thing about Gab is if you want to be your profile and you're out there, you can. If you want to hold back because of a job or something like that, you can. Do you find posts? Because I'm completely different from chat. I grew
yeah,
up on a ranch.
Yeah, BB's anonymous
West.
On Gab.
I'm anonymous. I don't, you know, I have a, you know, an avatar. I don't have, you know, me. But he's seen my dog. So, I have a really cute dog. Anyway, no, the platform, you know, I joined it in 2016. That was before we could even upload photos. I don't know. How long have you been on the pro? You've been on there a while, too.
Yeah, I've been on there actually just before. I would have been on there in August 2017, but the thing is, the invite email for me went to my spam box. And then I heard about Gab again a second time. On Alex Jones, you know, InfoWars, actually. And then I was like, oh, dang, I better check my spam box. Because apparently a lot of, you know, they were saying a lot of the invite emails went to the spam box. So I got in right before, you know, it became open to everybody. Like, really just, like, a couple days before it did. I got in
it
April.
It opened wide.
2017. They opened it up to everybody
yeah.
in May 2017.
You know, and I have a Facebook. I'm not a huge social media person, partly because I just don't have a lot of time for it. And I'm, you know, but Gab, I met so many cool people, and we're all very different. Like I said, you know, I'm American. I grew up in the West. I'm Catholic. You know, I was raised Catholic. My father's Quaker, though, so I have a really old tie, you know. But the thing about it is what we all are, we were so tired of feeling the suppression around 2016. And you can kind of feel it now, you know, in the 2018. And then all this stuff is just wacky because why are all of our crazies coming out right before the election? Can't they wait past the midterms to go all crazy? Or is this a false flag? And I mean, this is the point where it's like, you know, I just want to go home, put a tinfoil hat on my head and talk. But what I like about Gab, if I have those feelings or express those feelings that I really think these are stunts, and of course, you know, they're tragedies. And these people aren't rational. We still don't know why the Las Vegas shooter did what he did. We, you know, the pipe bomb guy, obviously, if he really wanted to hurt somebody, he didn't know how to do that because of the bombs. But the synagogue one is that one where somebody went out and actually hurt people. And that's terrifying. That's terrifying for anybody. But, you know,
yeah,
the media is just nuts. Because they're trying to link the pipe bomber to Trump, which is like, you know, I'm sorry, the guy used to be a registered Democrat. He's been on steroids. Okay, let's talk about how sane this guy is. He was a former stripper. He was on steroids. Steroids do not lead to the tendency of mental health. He's also Indian. He probably has some substance abuse and ego issues. I mean, you know. And so you have all that going on. And these imbeciles think we're stupid. And they're like, yeah, well, ranting lock her up does not constitute a death threat. Or CNN sucks or fake news. How does that constitute a death threat?
Or eat a bullet.
Or
eat a bullet.
Right.
Yeah,
and so
I mean, that's like
with,
what Paul
you know,
Nellon actually said when he was on Gab. It's like saying eat a bullet
yeah.
to someone does not constitute a threat. And
you know,
from what I could tell, like, the guy basically said stuff like that on Gab, and you really could not tell beforehand if he was going to do this or not.
Well, didn't he say throw Jews in an oven or something like that? I mean, you know, you get those weird posts. I get them where I'm like, oh, my God, I just don't know if they're off vote or something.
You know, BB, you know me. I make jokes all the time that, like, you know, I'm pro-oven because I'm so good at dodging them.
I know. No, we were
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Gab is, like, a lot of jokes sometimes, political jokes.
Yeah, people are kidding. And him and I were talking about, you know, Mel Brooks. He made a fortune off Nazis. And they're really funny movies. But you got to throw a Nazi in there for it to be funny. You know, and it's still humor that sort of held. Like, in Argentina, there's this character, and he's sort of a Nazi-looking character. And, you know, he goes around not liking the immigrants coming into their country. They have the same problem we do. It's like, send back the Central Americans. We don't want them.
Right.
You know, so we got all kinds of this crazy stuff. But the thing is, it's such a nice thing to have this worldview. And it's such a nice thing because sometimes these are funny. But, yeah, you'll see somebody like something you post, and then you'll look and you'll be like, holy hell, I swear this guy is an SS officer in his spare time.
Oh, my God. And Argentina has such a history with, you know, helping.
Right, and
yeah, those people escaped.
Yes. And my very significant other for over a year is originally from Argentina. So I got exposure to this. But, you know, I met so many great people from so many walks of life. And all of it was a community. And it still is a community because we aren't aggregated. There isn't any algorithm that throws us into our collective, you know, identities. And
yeah, I know.
So Gab
literally just posts whatever, you know, you click on news, it just shows you the latest thing. You know, if you click on you can click on popular if you want to, and it'll show you what recently got the most upvotes. Or you can click on controversial, which actually just shows you what got the most comments recently.
Yeah.
And you have a choice. It's very easy to figure out. It's so simple that it's stupid how simple it is.
And you really determine who's on your timeline. It's not the other way around. You know, and you could get, you know, we all got to that point when we first got on Gab, everybody followed everybody. Some people still do, you know, they follow back. It's what it's called. I couldn't keep up with it.
I only follow people if they interact with me.
Yeah, I follow people if they interact with me or I know them or, you know, they send me, you know, it's kind of like when, you know, they send me stuff from Friday Night Lights or something like that.
Right.
You know, because when I'm not, you know. But, yeah, it's one of those things I think, you know, when I called in, I was just like, just Chaz has asked me to. Because, like, you can give information 90 miles a minute. And I was like, really? I didn't know that. But the great thing is that we're very different people. And we have sometimes very different opinions on things. But the one thing we
this
we
is very true. Even people that consider themselves right on Gab disagree with each other all the time. Like, even people that consider themselves, like, in the same camp. Like, there is a lot of political debate on Gab. And what I like about it is that, you know, it's, for the most part, it's very civil.
Yeah. But the nice thing is to have these differences of opinions, to hear these differences of opinions, to actually make friends with people, to actually laugh at oven jokes.
I know.
You know.
I mean, this
yeah,
is actually
so,
why I'm disappointed that the Daily Stormer people haven't been posting on Gab recently, because it was actually really fun for me to troll them.
They, honestly, the Daily Stormer people were just a comment on them. I mean, if you felt bad, you just go to see what are their posts. And you know, that's the thing is they didn't, you know, they didn't take off any comments or block anybody for telling them that they're going to go to hell, you know, for telling the Jews to die. Or, you know,
yeah.
It was just
I mean, you also can't block people on Gab. I don't think that, can you remove comments on your own post? I don't think you could do that on Gab.
Well, kind of went and got a more aggressive unfollow, which was sad. But that, you know, unfortunately to the Debbie Downers of Gab who talk about stuff and LARP, about Gap closing its doors any minute, or shadow banning, which there isn't, what they're really truly, you know, their content sucks. That's what makes me laugh. There's this one particular person, remember yesterday, did you see my response to him? I'm just telling everybody.
I probably didn't. I can... I mean,
I
don't know.
I
you have multiple
that.
Ways of linking me to it, so...
Oh. Sorry,
we do have another caller on the line, guys, that wants to get into the conversation. Is that okay with you if I bring him in?
Okay. I don't know who it is. But...
Are you ready, guys?
Go ahead.
Everybody wants to get in on the conversation. That's a good thing, actually.
Yes, that's
alrighty.
Very good. All righty.
You're listening to
good.
Ask a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Hello, people.
And you're live.
I know. My name's Joe. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Joe. How are you? We're doing very well. Thank you.
All right. Okay, now you're discussing tonight the bombers, or at least you were a couple of minutes ago. And
yeah. Well, the thing is, they're trying to blame the whole thing on Gab. That's why we kind of got into Gab.
I don't know what Gab is, but I was going to ask a question about this guy. I think his name is Orca or something like that. And is he the one that's driving around with a van that has all of the stickers and all of the emblems that are loving Trump?
Oh, it was like Caesar something.
That,
I don't know. I've
Caesar
seen his last name
like
is.
That.
Yeah, I've seen different last names for him depending on the article.
Seems
very
convenient.
Strange.
All of a sudden, this guy is supposed to be a very avid supporter of Trump. And have they found any evidence that this guy is the guy that's doing all the bombings, or at least not the bombings, but at least sending all the bombs?
Well, they found a van of his that had, like, it was just plastered on the windows with Trump stickers.
Well, I know, but that doesn't mean that he's, you know, he's the guy that sent the bombs. Do they have any kind of evidence other than the fact that they may want to try
it? They actually do have his fingerprints on a couple of the packages.
Okay.
They were able to obtain that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is. They definitely have the right guy. The thing is, we don't know right now if he's, you know, actually a Trump supporter or if he's somebody on the left that is pretending to be a Trump supporter in order to demonize Trump supporters.
Well, if he's doing that...
I mean, I'm leaning on the latter because these bombs, none of them went off. I mean, look, who sends out 10 bombs? They all go through
11.
The U.S. Postal Service. I mean, they go through the U.S. Postal Service. Some of them do. Some of them had canceled stamps. Some of them didn't. So some of them had couriers. So this is obviously carried out by more than one person because it's a multi-state operation that one person could not carry out in the span of 3 days. I'm sorry. You know, and in the span of a day, like, you know, you have a bomb going somewhere in the south, one going up north, you know, in New York. Like, you couldn't do that in one day. So I am a little suspicious about things. I don't want to really start any conspiracy theories about this, but I do think that we kind of need to, like, sit back and just, you know, wait for a little bit more information as the authorities start to gather it. And I'm actually afraid that they won't gather it until after the election.
Well, whoever's doing it is a kind of a nut job, regardless of whether he's from the left or if he's actually a Trump supporter from the right. To send bombs that don't go off, and they're calling them hoax bombs, what's the purpose other than to draw attention to himself? And to do that,
yes,
for what particular reason?
Yes, I agree. I think that it's the modern version of sending someone a noose in the mail. You know, that was something that people did around, like, the 1800s or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was not, like, a death threat, but it was, like, kind of a message, like, you're so bad, I want you to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, like, something that people did to each other.
Well, this is a little bit more technologically advanced and probably psychotic as opposed to just plain being neurotic. 10 bombs, and if the bombs did arrive from different states, then I'm going to have to agree with you and say that he's got some partners involved with him in doing this. I want to know the motivation. If this person is really that much of a Trump supporter, I mean, he's doing it, then he's really stupid. Because he's really not going to help. He's not going to help Trump at all.
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, I want there to be a trial, speedy trial right away. And, you know, I would like to, you know, speed up this legal process. But, you know, our courts work so slow these days. And there's so many laws where you can delay things and stuff like that. I mean, I used to work as a paralegal for my dad, so I know all about this.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of the times, you know, you have basically 6 months to respond to somebody's legal argument. And you can keep the case going, like, for a long time doing that. And
yeah.
I've read up on cases where I've seen both sides do that, and the case has gone on for years.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, very common,
you know,
in civil trials. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're trying
to
wear down the
other
side.
The divorce case went on for 6 years.
Yeah, they're trying to wear down the other side so that they go bankrupt in paying the lawyers to defend them and use that as a threat.
My
in
parents
to make
represented
sure,
themselves.
So, but this particular person, I don't know that much about him. I read a little bit about him. I saw the pictures about his van. And apparently he's a Trump supporter, and I mean more than just a Trump supporter. He's got these very well-decorated...
Yeah, I know. Like, that van is covered with all sorts of stuff, like CNN stuff.
Yeah, he's very creative and very thorough. So if this guy is really a Trump supporter, if he's really the one, along with others, who's...
I also wonder why. All right, he's from Florida, apparently, and there's no sunlight damage on any of those stickers on his car, which suggests that they were put on there very recently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like another thing that I'm a little suspicious about.
Well, he may have put them on recently, so we don't really know that much about who this guy is and what his motivations are. I'm just hoping that he's not a Trump supporter, because then the Dems will use that to try to energize their base even more.
Oh, they're already saying that he's a Trump supporter. It doesn't even matter to them. They can, I mean, you know them. It's guilty until proven innocent with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already saying that he's a Trump supporter, and they're already saying that, you know, this is, you know, because of Trump. And I think that's wrong.
Well, obviously he's a Trump supporter. Whether or not he's doing it is because of Trump, well, we have to find out either pre-trial or during the trial. And I think Trump supporters are so strong that even if this guy is that much of a neurotic, and if he is a Trump supporter and did send in the bombs, then I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I think the people are still going to go out there and vote. I don't think they're going to change their mind about Trump because Trump's done.
Yeah, I think everybody has already made up their minds in the election, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, Trump's done
like,
well for the
I can't
economy.
Convince anyone of anything these days, left or right. Everybody's mind is made up. You know, and at the same time, we got, you know, like, the thing with terrorism is that the point of terrorism is to influence, you know, political opinions, you know, through a violent act. So if we, you know, I don't care if this person is on the left or if they're on the right,
yeah, well, I'm
or anything
go
like that,
you
but
guys
we let them
the show,
influence
so.
Our political opinions. We're letting the terrorists
Take
win.
It easy.
All right. Oh, did he hang up?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I think we just lost Joe. I don't know if he dropped accidentally, but we did lose him on the board.
Yeah, I think that he actually hung up from what I could hear.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I was talking. He was kind of like interrupting me mid-speech, and I basically continued talking and finishing my thought. So,
well, I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I think you all are great. Yeah.
And BB, are you still there?
I am. I don't know if I'm muted or not. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. You have anything to say about that whole thing?
You're still there, BB. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it's kind of one of those things that, honestly, when my mother, with the bombs, and my mother had brain surgery last year. So I would say, you know, she's a pretty smart woman, but she doesn't have all of her, you know, she doesn't have all of her coat pans in her six pack, if you get my drift. And even she's like, this is fake. And, you know, that's kind of my litmus test of how like an independent or more, you know, non-savvy person would assume, you know,
right,
what's going on. And I mean, when my mom saw him, I guess, because I was talking to my dad, and he's like, oh, my God. She was just like, why does his picture look white, and why is he so dark when they walk him in? So she, you know, she already gets that. I mean, I think there's too many little things that the press acts like we're stupid. The guy who headed the investigation of 9/11 was so ticked off about, you know, an anchor just going on and on about how Trump, and he was so mad, he walked out. He was like, I'm not gonna appear on this network and talk to you about anything serious. And on other networks, he talked about the fact that he felt they were pretty close to arrest, that because of the materials used, like tape, electrical tape, it gives really good late fingerprints. We know this guy had fingerprints in the system. The van's too pristine. And then all of a sudden, like if that wasn't enough, we have this weird, I mean, that one scares me because, like I said, people were hurt, you know. And so I don't know. It's just, it seems very contrived. And then, you know, like CBS pushing too hard that basically Gab is a neo-Nazi website, you know. But the thing about it is Twitter allows.
Yeah, I mean, and the Gothamist basically called me a Nazi last week. Like, you know, I'm still pissed off about that. That they basically associated me with Nazis. And I'm a Jew.
No, I'm sitting there going, I mean, I think that's why you came to Gab, because it was like, this is going to be different. This isn't going to be, well, we're going to take special groups and make them special. And that's the one thing I love about Chaz, you know, and I love being your friend over it, is that you're a Jew.
Oh, man,
it's part of who you are. You
yeah,
know,
if I told you why I joined Gab originally, you would probably laugh. And I think I will. All right. Basically, yeah. I was just like, dude, I'm pissed off that Twitter is banning all these Nazis because I can't argue with them. I can't argue with them. I want to argue with them. I want to fight Nazis. I'm a Jew. I want to fight Nazis. And then I find out there's this social media network that's not going to ban Nazis, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going in. And then you hear the sound of, you know, my gun cocking and all that.
Well, the weird thing is,
I have posts on Gab that are like, you know, I'm going to fight against you with all 300 characters of, you know, my three of my keyboard clips, you know.
You're a keyboard warrior. No, I joined it because I just got so tired. And it was one of those things where it was an opportunity. Somebody said, hey, do you want to try this, you know, beta test it, kind of see what it's like. And I'm like, okay, you know, and give you a recommendation whether you like it or not, you know. And I was like, oh, sure. And I think kind of the interesting thing is, you know, that's one thing I know. Yeah, we may have neo-Nazis, but I don't think for once anyone on ISIS has dared to post. But if you said something against an ISIS post, Chaz, I bet you'd be banned.
I don't know if you've – there are some posts in Arabic on there. I don't know if you have seen them.
I have.
Searched in Arabic. And there's actually an Egyptian Trump supporter on Gab. I don't know if he's there anymore. I think it was like Mahmoud 1212 or something like that. Yeah, but he was like really cool, and like he and I chatted with each other a lot, and we're like, you know, hey, you know, like, you know, we had this whole like Egyptian Israeli, like, you know, bonding thing going. I've been to Egypt, by the way, and I think that's a great country. I haven't been since the 90s, but, you know, it was actually really cool back then. You know, the person that they overthrew, by the way, in that, you know, little revolt that they had.
Honestly, they were pro-Muslim Brotherhood. There's no doubt. And if people are putting on your tinfoil hats, I do recommend at this point in the show that when Chad and I get to this area, you want to put on your tinfoil hat. No, I agree. I agree the Muslim Spring was a complete jackassery of globalists. There was no reason to kill Gaddafi. I have a list of all as long as
oh
my
god, yeah, Gaddafi was like,
he was surrendering.
He wanted to step down, and he also wanted to put Libya on the gold standard, you know, get off of the petrodollar and all that. Like, he just wanted to empower Libya.
Right, and he was holding off the terrorists on top of it. He was really fighting them. And you see pictures
of
I
can tell you all about that.
A country, Ewan McGregor and his buddy motorcycled across to a complete and utter shithole that made Beirut look like a spring break walk. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, you have to all. Libya shares a border with Sudan, and Sudan is basically like kind of in this sort of civil war right now, where there's actually this South Sudan that is recognized by the U.S. by the way, and it's recognized by a majority of nations. So now we have Sudan and South Sudan.
And they
have been having this
war,
especially in Darfur, and they do have a border with Libya, and I've met these Sudanese refugees in Israel, and, like, what happened to them, like, I've heard stories from them, I've actually spoken to them, they've, you know, like, when they're 8 years old, they basically, their villages were burning, because like, people who were going to war there, they were just shooting everybody. Like, they didn't care what your political opinion is, what tribe you're from, or whatever. They were just, like, shooting and burning everybody. And the parents said to him when he was 8 years old, run away, go as far as you can. And he ran to Libya with his sister, you know, this guy I met. You know, I'm talking about one specific guy, but I've met a lot of people like this. All right. And, you know, he ran away to Libya. They were in a, you know, this was when Gaddafi was in power and all that. They were in a, like, detainment camp, essentially. Sort of like a place where it was okay, great and all that. And he wanted more in life. And he heard that, you know, in Israel, he could get more in life. So before Israel built their wall between Egypt and Israel, he actually went through Israel. And that was very dangerous for him because there's a lot of mines left over from the 1967 war along the border. And, you know, he told, you know, he told me and a bunch of other people that, you know, when he first saw signs in this language that he did not know what it was, which was Hebrew. And by the way, he speaks better Hebrew than I do, and he's a Sudanese refugee. Like, when he saw signs that said that, you know, he was like, oh my God, I'm freaking safe. And I mean, he was 14 years old at the time, so he got like an Israeli education, you know, and was able to acclimate the society there. And he's going to college and all that. He was 21 years old when I met him. I have not stayed in touch with him, but I could get back in touch with him through a couple other people if I wanted to.
The time when he left, you know, a lot of the boy soldiers, they were conscripted into it. But what went crazy was when the parents of all of a sudden, you know, they took care of that one. You know, that one got handled. But this Boko Raham, which is basically a sect of ISIS, and they're the ones who's kidnapped the schoolgirls. They're the ones who shot shopping malls. They're the ones who's basically anything that resembles, you know, and that's kind of the sad thing, you know, because this radical Islam terrifies me the most, because anytime, anywhere they come in, it's basically they trash the country. I mean, if anybody has been checking up on Mosul, there's
I know Muslims in Israel that are against, that are actually pro-Trump because they don't want people from these war-torn countries coming into Israel either.
But not only that, I mean, the thing about it is the infrastructure. Now, the interesting thing is Iraq, only one place really had electricity. And, you know, you would get out of Baghdad or you would get out of the major cities and there was no electricity. And all of a sudden, everything changed after Desert Storm. Major cities started getting power and they started building up commerce and stuff. And there's this huge dam outside Mosul that has been there for 4 years. And essentially, they kind of went in and wrecked it. So there's no way right now to lift the floodgates. So there's a lot of problems and concerns with that. The electricity, the sewer system, the water treatment, all of that is trash. And then, of course, one of the horrible parts is that ISIS likes to tunnel. But the problem with tunneling is securing what kind of material and making sure it doesn't fall on you. So, you know, there's, you know, you see some of the gas deaths. So when they show me those pictures, I'm kind of like, I don't know. Because there's so many tunnels dug under so many places. It's almost destabilized the place. It's almost
did you know that kind of like, Israel has had to deal with these tunnels and they have tunnel detection system?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're helping
and
the U.S.
the
with
border.
That, with the wall, by the way.
I bet you they are, and they should, because holy crap, some of those tunnels are pretty good. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, when I want them to drop more Moabs, you know, because that was the first time people really understood
what kind of bunkers these are. They're very sophisticated. And, you know, it takes a lot of power. It takes a lot of water. You know, maybe they're getting the water source and pumping it and cleaning it. Who knows? But, you know, I mean, when you see some in Afghanistan, some of these complexes, they are complexes underground. It is comparable to Cheyenne Mountain. And so, you know, and that's a lot of money and technology. And that's why everybody gets so mad at Iran, because that's where the money comes from to do that. And, you know, nobody has to be an idiot to figure that out. But, you know, ISIS just basically went and decided that, you know, let's turn back our clocks to the 10th century, except we're going to drive around in Toyota trucks. And, you know, it's very close to anarchy. It is very terrifying. You know, I imagine any normal family, you know, and you know, the Berbers, anybody would be like, get these people out of here.
I mean, they're apocalyptic people, ISIS. Because the Quran actually speaks of people dressed up just like ISIS, dressed in black with masks and everything, who will speak the word of the Quran but not follow the word of the Quran. And that is what happens in the end in Islam. So basically what they're trying to do, what ISIS is trying to do, is bring about the end times. They're trying to bring about an apocalypse.
Yeah. No, that's why they are a death cult. And so it really behooves me to see, like, a place like Gab, where basically you can do your favorite thing. You know, be the Jew who fights the Nazis. You know, be the Mel Brooks who makes fun of Nazis. You know, I tell people I'm a Nazi and that I iron my SS uniform for fun. Obviously, I'm not. But, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, we go from something serious like this, and you know, I always wonder if you actually said something really to somebody in ISIS in English, if that would lead to you being kicked out, even though you're a Jew. I probably bet so, because it's like, Europe and Twitter and all these things, they kind of keep these Muslims, even Facebook, they're a protected class. No, they're not. They're a death cult. There's no moderation. There's no central religion saying, you've got to get with the times, guys. You cannot go around marauding and throwing everybody back in the 10th century and trying to end the world. It's not cool. There isn't
anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we have like about a minute left, by the way.
Okay. I feel like I'm taking over your show. But just the thing is that I think what makes me angry the most about all of that is that it is just, there's been so much money and so much forward progress, even though, let's just say, the Bush wars weren't the greatest thing to happen to Iraq, but it was a progress that needed to happen for the Iraqis, and I was very happy for that. But the rest of it, you know, this ISIS stuff and the failure of the Obama administration, it makes me cry. It really does, because it's all for naught. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Obama, as far as I am concerned, Obama was just Bush 2.0.
Oh, he was.
He basically continued as far as like foreign involvement went, he continued everything Bush did, and went further.
No, he was more regulatory. He was more government subprime Bush. That's how I look at it. You know, he was the subprime mortgage of the Bushes, and the globalists, and Hillary was going to be like even worse, you know. So that's like bad credit.
All right, yeah. I mean, I agree I agree, actually. No. I mean, both of them were globalists. They just had different ways of going about doing it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Hillary, first, because, you know, at least Obama was a full, you know, you could see where he was coming from as a Muslim communist, you know. Maybe that's not true, whatever. But Hillary, it was like whoever paid her the most. And I mean, she took some money from nasty people. And you're just like,
oh, don't even get me started. I already told you how my dad met her through NXIVM. You know, when he infiltrated NXIVM.
Really, I really appreciate you inviting me to come.
Okay, we literally have 10 seconds left. thank everybody for listening to the show. Ask a Jew on World Integrity News Network. And hope to see you next time.
Thanks.
thank you, everyone, for listening in. My name is Michelle O'Kai. Cast you in. Great show. After you, we'll be back here next Saturday.
Yeah, and thank you, Phoebe, good for calling in. And thank you, Raquel.
Mama Pajama rolled out of bed, and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout. He started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what did mama saw? It was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we is all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.